Blog Talk Radio.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Greetings. Welcome to our first edition of With Intent on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. I'm Karina Gionzoli, and this show is where we dare to be different. We have an exciting show planned today, the first of a two-part feature on fear coinciding with Halloween. Our really cool guest, Sharon Corsaro, is a creative facilitator, coach, writer, and speaker. Her focus is on empowering the individual through her creative solutioning. Sharon has surpassed fear in big ways in her life and lives with fear every day. Keep listening to hear what she means by this. What is amazing is that Sharon lives in California and I'm in Johannesburg. Through the magic and power of the internet, this is possible. If you would like to call in tonight to speak with me or Sharon, the number is 646-716-7979. Halloween is a day filled with mystery, magic, and superstition. Originally, it was a Celtic festival, celebrating the future rather than the past. They believed that the veil between worlds was much thinner at this time of the year, which was the end of their year. The 1st of November was New Year's Day. Future predictions were rife, where they made bonfires to their deities, sacrificed animals and burnt corn to venerate them and for good fortune, wearing animal masks and skins. By the Middle Ages, superstitions abound, like avoiding crossing paths with black cats. They believed that black cats were embodiments of witches, where witches shifted into black cats, and walking along leaning ladders. By the way, for more information on this show, free assessments and motivational videos, please visit www.withintent.co.za.
How are you feeling at this moment? Are you feeling like you are in pain, or do you feel like you are fearful? Call in and let me know. Our number is 646-716-7979.
I'm very excited to be demonstrating a cool live process next week on the transformation of fear, so don't miss it. But until then, I would like to introduce you to one of my favorite crystals for healing, transforming, and discovering your fears. Crystals work deeply within the body on the energy levels, the vortexes of spinning energy called chakras. These are powerhouses of the body. There are seven main chakras in the body which need to be kept open and spinning for optimum holistic health. That is mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional health. If not, fear, anxiety, and disease manifest. For example, your friend wakes up in the morning with a sore throat. Then she realizes that she didn't speak up when her husband accused her of betrayal the night before. The chakras are positioned at the base of the spine to the top of the head. Each embodies certain organs and certain power. For example, the base chakra is one of the of basic needs, security, and fear. So, when you are fearful, the chakra blocks and becomes stagnant, like a blocked pipe. The crystal I chose to assist and support you in dissipating your fear is the rose quartz. This beautiful pink stone emanates love, healing emotional wounds, and promotes self-love, which is tantamount to the transformation of fear. The stone opens the heart chakra. My challenge to you is go and find a rose quartz, feel the energy, and see if it speaks to you.
Hi, Karina. Can you hear me?
Hi, Michael. I can. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I were waiting for your guest. Is that right?
I'm waiting Karen? For my guest. Yes, I am.
No, I'm here.
I am here.
Okay.
I've been here the whole time.
Okay, Sharon, thank you. There was a technical problem. I apologize for that from my side.
There is, this is Karina's first show. She's calling from Johannesburg, South Africa. That's some 11,000 miles away from where we are and where the Blog Talk servers are in California. And I believe, Sharon, you're in California. I'm in Boise, Idaho, all in the western part of the United States. So we're still working out a little, a few tech issues between Johannesburg and the United States. But we've got everyone on the line now, and congratulations, Karina.
This is your first show. I was so patiently waiting to talk.
I'm sorry, Sharon. Nice to
you. Know. And for anyone listening out there, you know, getting around tech problems is sometimes an issue, but we've got some awesome, I know Karina and Sharon have some awesome content for everyone, so I'm going to be quiet and just kind of listen to the rest of the show. So you two have a good time, and let's talk about fear.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. He was the catalyst we needed to get this moving.
He obviously was.
That is hilarious. Oh, my. And if you know me, you would come to know that for me to sit quietly, patient like that is quite unusual.
So that is a challenge for you as well. That's actually very good.
So good. Thank you. Karina, thank you so much for having me. I mean that with all my heart. I'm so grateful to be here. Hello.
Hello, Sharon. And how are you? And how's the weather there in California?
Oh, it is lovely. It's a clear, sunny, gorgeous day. I'm actually native Californian, but I've been in many other places, and on days like this, I realize why the world loves to come to California. I didn't understand when I was young growing up how precious it is, but yes, it's a gorgeous day.
Okay, Sharon,
Yes, I am.
Tell me a bit, Sharon, about your background.
Yeah, so, I guess I will say that preparing for this interview, you know, it's funny, for me, talking about fear is not would not be the top of my list of things to talk about. But I find it is, I mean, really, you know, honestly, for anyone, I think that's probably true. But I find it so ironic and perfect, really, to talk about this, because I say to you, and my prayer this morning in preparing to be online here with you is to say, please use me as an instrument to empower freedom, true freedom in others. And isn't it so true that fear is this big obstacle that limits our personal freedom in so many ways? And my life, I've been on this enormous journey that it was not planned, and I don't think anyone could have planned it, but it led me around the globe, and it unveiled within me what is really my purpose, and that is to empower the creative spirit in ourselves as that which holds our answer for us to think creatively. In anything and in everything is really where we find our greatest gold. And that is my life's purpose now. But it took a long journey and surpassing a lot of fear in order to make that journey to get here.
Okay. So where did you go? Sounds like it was a long journey.
Yeah. And in fact, I've been in South Africa. I love South Africa. when I found out you were from South Africa when this all came together, I was like, oh my God, that's so exciting. I love it so much. So I took this very I ended up living a very unconventional life from the starts that were very conventional, from a very really ordinary beginning. I started out in got my education and started out in the world of high-end marketing and public relations and advertising, working for big agencies. And I did that for quite a while, and I walked away from all of that because I took a journey to Australia. I was in Canada first, but I took a trip to Australia, and I had a major epiphany that said, this is not the life I'm supposed to be living, not where I was. It was my catalyst. Mm-hmm. But what I was doing was not the life I was to be living, and I had no idea what it was to be, but I knew that it was something different. And that led me on what I often call a walkabout, a like 20 or 30 year long walkabout that took me all over to so many places. And I did this, now this totally ages me, but I was doing this before the internet existed. And when I think about that, when I stop and really think, the internet has so drastically impacted our world in very positive ways. You and I are talking. We wouldn't be otherwise, right? But the life that, when I did that journey, I would book a ticket into some place, and I had no plan for what was going to happen next. and that was before we had Google. That was before I could like look up things on a phone or on a computer. And that just blows my mind every time I think about it, that my journey was to learn how to listen inside. And I didn't have that. Like, I live by that now, but I did not have that early on in life. It was, my intuition was totally turned off. It was shut off. And so when I started out this journey, actually that was a big part of the impetus was I knew, I came to know there was a voice inside me, and I hadn't known it prior. And when I heard that voice inside, I was like, oh, wow, oh, shit. There is something I need to learn how to listen to here. And it was totally foreign to me. And so I set out to awaken that and how to hear that. And that then led me to where I would go, when I would go. And it is what leads me in every single moment of my life now. But back in the old days, it was non-existent in me. And I know that it's non-existent in a lot of people, and I lived that way too. I mean, I know what that is to have it not awake. It's way in my past, but honestly, sort of my challenge is to remember that, to get back in touch with that, because I think that a lot of my gift is to connect with people who have that part not awake, and to help them wake up that inner knowing, the inner self.
Yeah.
So I didn't really answer your question very much, did I? I've been to so many countries, I can't hardly name them. I mean, it started in Australia, New Zealand, then Southeast Asia, then, then I think I was back in the U.S. for a while, and then off on a whole journey in the U.S. and the northwest of the U.S., and then the Caribbean and South America and Africa, and a little bit of Europe, and I think maybe that's it.
Wow.
I think that's it. Yeah.
And your favorite South Africa?
Oh, I was just thinking, I was going to say Africa. I love Africa like there is no tomorrow. I went directly to Great Zimbabwe, which is maybe not commonly known about. But when I first looked at a map of Africa, I was like, what is there? I just honed right in on it. I had no idea what it was. And I just honed right in on this spot. And I was like, what's that? I've got to go there. And I mean, it wasn't even that you could see something on the map. I felt it. And I went there and I spent, I don't know, it feels like I spent a while. I stayed in a hut on site there and met the local people. I'm in fact still friends with some of the locals that I met there, and this was a long time ago. But so I loved Great Zimbabwe. I took a whole journey across the Kalahari Desert, And I stayed in Joburg, and I went to Cape Town. Oh, and I was in Swaziland. I stayed in Swaziland with a traditional healer that I was connected to through a very dear friend. And oh my God, the experiences! I remember one day I was in the traditional village in Swaziland, and I got a ride or something. I was back in Joburg in like a 5-star hotel in the same day. That was a strange dichotomy. Wow. It's all coming out of my memory as I talk to you. It's funny. Oh.
Wow, so, Sharon.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, my God, I mean, as I say these things, I think of the person listening to me. It's like, wow, well, that's great. You just like could just go off. But the fact is, to do any of that was like total, you know, completely surpassing fear. I was entirely going, leaping, not just stepping, but leaping into full-on unknown territory. Because, again, it wasn't the world of look everything up online and find, look at Google Maps and see exactly what where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing. It was completely unknown to me what I would be doing. And that, you know, honestly, I think it's a bit of naivety, not a bit, probably a lot of naivety is actually what enabled me. But, yeah, and I am so grateful. Holy cow, I can't even say it enough. I'm so grateful to myself, to that person of those years ago who was willing. Holy cow. Really, I am so grateful to that younger me who was willing to go, okay, I'll do this, because my God, the whole world opened up to me and I became the person that I am, which would have never occurred had I stayed put in what I knew and in what was comfortable to me.
No, that is incredible. That's a huge message to tell everybody. But
isn't that,
on the other hand,
really, I mean, as I said that, I'm so, God, I mean, and for other people, it's not traveling to other countries. It's not, for others, it's their own thing, whatever it is that is that huge, oh my God, I couldn't possibly do X. Whatever the X is, yes, you can, and please do. Really.
Touché to that, Sharon.
Yeah.
You did mention in your bio that you deal with fear every day. So in what context is that?
Okay, I will explain what that means. Is, you know what? It's in the way that we all do. Because every single thing that we do is a decision to, well, okay, maybe not every single thing, but all the time we are confronted with the opportunity to take a step of faith or not. For instance, how did I get on the phone with you right now on this interview, right? I put it out there and I was shocked. And so then I had to go, oh, whoa, okay, yes, okay, I am going to do this, right? I didn't. It was blind faith, honestly, in the way that I said, here, yes, I'll do that, offering myself for this moment with you. But so when I say that, being in fear, I could be in fear or not every day. And that is the phone call that I need to make, or the email that could be written or not, or the going down to a meeting and meeting some people live in person or not. All of these things, you see, every single thing that we do all day long is putting us in place and in a position for something, for what's next, for what comes after that step. And if I don't take those steps, then that potential that's sitting on the other side of my step one, the potential that's sitting in step 3 and 4, it doesn't get to arrives in my world if I don't see step and two? Afraid? If I am, oh, God, I don't know that person. I don't feel comfortable calling them, know them, or how can I possibly make this comment on this Facebook post and offer myself? I'm not ready to do that. You see, fear is potential all the time for all of us. It's our steps. It's our courage. It's our ability to pass that in itself opens the whole world of possibility that is waiting for us.
Very nice, Sharon. So what you're saying is it's also about the way we perceive the fear. Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, yes, very true. Absolutely. Yes, that's totally right. It's, you know, and, oh, God, and you make me now remember that as I was preparing for this, I thought, you know what? The fact is, though, that fear has a real purpose. Fear is, it has an important purpose. Because fear, and you maybe know, you can speak to this more than I, but fear is also to save us, right? I mean, in life-threatening situations. And I have had some of that as well, that I didn't choose so well about. But so fear has a role. And so, as you just said, it's a matter of deciphering, is this fear that is real and it's trying to protect me from something that I'm going to, like, fall down and, you know, totally make a fool of myself? Or is this fear my, you know, worry, my, oh, God, no, I can't because of, you know, my whole dream, what could go wrong? So it is very much our, how we perceive and our ability to discern what is true to be fearful of and what is my mind making up a story.
And how many times is your mind really that's making up the story? Because of conditionings or
exactly, right? Like, oh my God, like so much. And then that's where our personal journey, our inner work, our work within, you know, and our, honestly, our loving ourself, our being gentle and nurturing with the self as much as we would be with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're so, I think, you know, we're so good at giving so much love and care to others and maybe not so much to ourselves for some reason. So if I am really loving and nurturing to myself, to the little kid inside me who's like, what the hell are you thinking? Right? Like if I'm really nurturing to that little kid who freaks out, then, you know, it's like a real child. Like, you know, you partner up. If you have a real child that you're dealing with in a scary situation, you partner up and you nurture them and you're like, hey, I'm with you and we're a team and this is okay. We're going to do this and it's going to be fun. And then the kid is like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm with you. Right. So, yeah, the whole, you know, that's interesting. That's a big piece of it, I guess, is nurturing the self as a way of walking through fear.
I think nurturing the self and loving the self is huge in everything we do. Not just fear. So it will determine whether we walk forward and do what we have to do or we just sit in the corner and quiver.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So true. So true, isn't it?
It is.
I just see that so clear in my mind that we just said that. Very true. Wow. And wow, it's so, my goodness, this isn't common curriculum, is it? In our world. Okay, and now we're going to the class to learn how to love yourself.
I know. It should be part of the curriculum at school. I think the education system is very archaic, but that's, I guess,
That's another subject. Yeah. Right. Wow.
Okay. So there are good types of fear.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
What are they?
You know what? Well, when, okay, so honestly, it goes back to that, like, gut feeling and that inner knowing, that inner sense. Like, oh, my God, this is so interesting. It, as you ask me that, that's immediately where I go back to, is when we have a strong inner knowing, that is, I think we all have that, but when we are connected to it, when we are connected to our inner radar, for instance, that tells us when something is not right. You know, the term, it flips my gut. I don't know if they use that over there, but this term of, like, it's your gut feeling. When your gut says, don't walk down that alley, there's probably a good reason. There's maybe some danger down that alleyway, this dark alley at night. Maybe it's better that you walk around the other side of the building, right? So fear, this is where fear, it's our friend. And it's funny that I'm saying this, but as I thought this about this yesterday, I thought, you know, fear gets a really bad rap. Because fear does limit us, and it really gets in the way, and it's really sort of the bad guy in the room. However, it is our protector as well. So, and it is in those times when, you know, it's not necessarily the big dangers, but maybe a certain relationship, maybe talking to a certain person on the phone frequently isn't in my best interest. And so my gut is like, you know, no, don't call back. Or no, don't proceed in trying to make a visit with that person. Maybe it's not in my best interest. And so my gut, that inner radar, is telling me. Now, that's not like huge fear, but it is telling me. And it is, if it were to get all the way to a dangerous situation, it would be my fear that would stop me and protect me, because I'd be scared of walking down that dark alley. It'd be like, ooh, that feels icky. I don't want to go that way. Well, it's probably protecting me. Just like, you know, doing some crazy, you know, some crazy dangerous thing, right? Well, there's fear. Some of that is natural fear, but some of it is, hey, you're thinking about doing some dangerous, like riding on a motorcycle with no helmet and with some crazy driver on the front, you know. Yeah, that's dangerous. So you are having fear, and you need to listen to that fear. Yeah.
So let me understand what you're saying, Sharon. So how would you define then the difference between intuition, which would be your gut feel, and fear, which would be, so are you talking the same thing? Is that equal to each other, equal, and or are they different in your opinion?
Yeah, good point. I think as I was just describing that, it feels to me almost like they're a gradation, like there's a degree of, you know, when it's your gut feeling to where it's like, I'm really scared because there's real danger in my midst. I think, like, oh, my God, what just came to my mind? Oh, this is a crazy story. I haven't thought of for a really long time, but when I was in Africa, I got a ride I was in Victoria Falls, and I just, I knew that somebody, I just had this sense that someone was going to come along to give me a ride to someplace. So anyway, it turns out, I'm going to cut this really short, long story short, turns out this guy came along, that this really hot guide, this really awesome man came along, and he was, he's a guide, a professional guide, but he was without group, and he was traveling over a long distance, and he was willing to take me along. Well, so long story short is that we end up in this preserve, and where it was outside of tourist season, and so because he was who he was, we got entry, and so here we are. We slept in a tent in this game preserve, and in the middle of the night, lions, actual real giant lion walked right by our tent in the middle of the night. And I looked at their footprints in the dirt in the morning. It was a very scary situation. But this guy, he like deals with this. He wasn't scared about it at all. I was terrified when it was happening in the middle of the night, you know, because they are roaring and everything, and they're just making their little prance right past our tent. Now, my intuition might have, if I were listening, my intuition might have warned me about that prior to even getting in the car with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that it did. And as I say that right now, the situation, while it could have been very dangerous, it actually wasn't dangerous. And this man knew exactly what he was dealing with. And he would have, if something had gone, he actually got out of the tent in the night while they were out there roaring, like walking, almost walking past our tent, which is crazy, totally crazy. But so the example is that if it were a truly dangerous situation, maybe I would have had an intuition, a gut feeling to try and deter me from ending up in that dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. And now I've actually just thought of another example where I did get in a very dangerous situation, and it was not good. And I was in Peru, and mm-hmm. it's another long story, but I did have very much the intuition, and it was not safe. But I carried on because I wasn't, I would say in this moment, I feel that I wasn't trained. My knowing how to feel, I'm trying to find the right words for it. I wasn't attuned enough to recognize, oh, this feeling right here is when you don't go down that road. This feeling mm-hmm. that you're having right here is when something is not safe down the road from this moment. I didn't know how to recognize that.
Okay.
I do now. Because that situation led to a very ugly situation. But I didn't recognize the signs. I didn't recognize my gut feeling, what it was really saying to me.
Mm.
So back to your question, is I think that a gut feeling is the beginning of the warning, and it then becomes a matter of knowing how to listen to what your gut is telling you. And that comes from practice, I think. I think it comes from utilizing that and listening to it in positive times and in red flag times. So my situation in Peru, I was given a red flag by my gut feeling, but I didn't know what a red flag looked like from my gut at that time in my life. And so a red flag was given to me through my gut feeling. I was led down a path that was very dangerous, and I was it was a bad situation that unfolded. But I was carried through it, and I was okay, and I'm alive. I was alive through it. But had I known how to listen to that gut feeling, that I think was a gut feeling warning me that you should be afraid. You should be afraid in this moment. Mm. You should not go get on that bus and go by yourself to that place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
So it just becomes worse and worse. So that's probably why you can teach people to access that feeling because of all the experiences you've had.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
yeah.
In hindsight.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a funny thing. It's so, honestly, to be so honest, I think it's really challenging in the way that we are now, because people want a quick fix. People want, you know, here, give it to me now. Tell me now. Give me, you know, teach it to me in five tips, right? And life doesn't always work that way. In fact, more times it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
These things come with experience, with, you know, my learning. Again, I go back to, I didn't have a gut. I have an enormous intuition now, but it didn't even exist 20 or 30 years ago in me. Oh, it did, but I didn't know it. I was completely disconnected from it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how did I get what I have now? Yes, very much through experience, through having a red flag that I didn't realize was a red flag and learning, oh, okay, when you have that kind of feeling, that's when you don't go that way. Sometimes, you know, nearly getting killed is what it takes to learn what a red flag feels like. Oh, my God.
But yeah. Sometimes, don't you think you're a bit stubborn and you just want to, you think you know better than your gut. You say, oh, what that's all.
Well,
you just don't believe what you're feeling is correct.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where, like, it doesn't make sense. The gut feeling and intuition, it's so illogical. It doesn't work on logic. It works on a different world. It works it's in a different language that is not logic. And so, yes, it takes, what's the word for it? Like releasing our logical mind and developing a relationship that allows, and then now we get to where what my real work is here in the world now is about the creative. So it's this notion of developing a relationship between the logic and the illogic, the linear and the non-linear world, the creative and the non-creative, the feminine and the masculine. These are all different terms for the same two-sided existence that we are living within. The for so many people, the structure and the logical world and the masculine world and the all of that has been our dominant way, and we really need the creative. We really need that fluid, intuitive, creative, feminine side in every man and women. This isn't, to me, it's not a man-woman thing, but it's that those two sides. And I will take this moment to say we need both. I think that so many people these days are all about the feminine and that's what's so much more important. It's not more important. We need them both. We need structure and we need non-structure. We need them both to be in union and in balance, because that's where my intuition sometimes knows better, and it needs my logical self to trust it, right? To give it a chance and trust. And sometimes my logical self needs to be the one saying, we have a schedule to keep. So we need both. Yeah. I'm not sure how did we get here. I went off on the creative. Goodness. I'm sorry. But yeah, this whole thing of marrying up the two, of learning how to listen, and giving space for that, allowing a little bit of space for the creative, for that intuitive self to percolate itself and rise up to the top and say, hey, wait, what about this idea, right?
Mm.
But if I am so headstrong and driven in my masculine or, you know, my structured self, if I'm too structured and headstrong, then I'll be like so far down the track before the intuitive self even got the chance to say, hey, excuse me. Excuse me, I had an idea for you.
Don't you find that because society has conditioned us so much that a lot of the times people like say, oh, that creative side's not a good thing. I'm afraid of it. It needs to be boxed up on my side, because if that comes out, sure, what will happen to us? It will be too creative and I'll be afraid of, I don't know, losing control.
Or something exactly. Oh, my God. Exactly. You've got it. Right? Yes. Oh, my God. That's it. Because the creative is huge. It's huge. And it's got so many wild and crazy ways that we could do things better. that we could be and have so much fun being and all this stuff. Yeah, so the creative is like the wild child in the room, right?
Yes.
And, oh, goodness, we've got to control everything, and, whoa, that's just too much energy, and, no, I don't know what to do with you, so we'll just, like, yes, keep this all closed down. But that doesn't work.
Exactly, because what will happen, you can't lose control, Shem. It'll be,
right.
And that's fear as well.
And that is fear, totally, isn't it? Yeah. And okay, and that is fear that is not of the good kind. So now we're getting down to the real, what's the answer, right? So that is fear. That which, when it's me going, oh, no, I can't do that because, and I've got a whole list of, you know, reasons, that's control, and that is fear for fear's sake, and it is not something that's keeping me, that's trying to keep me safe. It's something that's trying to keep me down. It's something
and
that's
stuck.
Trying to keep me controlled and limited and stuck and, yeah, all of that, yeah.
How do you learn to trust your intuition?
So about the how to trust it, well, okay, my response is baby steps first. To take
mm-hmm.
babies to that again, now we're back to this learning and developing this relationship, inner relationship between the intuitive self and the logical self, for instance. Okay. So developing this relationship. Now, how do you develop any relationship? Is you take baby steps. You take an experience together and you find out, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. So, translation, your logical self is trying to control something. Your intuitive, your creative self says, okay, well, here I have an idea. Logical self says, okay, I'm going to test this. I'm going to try this out. Creative self goes off with, he takes an idea and runs with it, and it works. Logical
mm-hmm.
self learns, oh, okay, so maybe you're not the total wild child, but maybe you do have some goodness. Okay, well, hey, maybe we could be in partnership here. So it's taking baby steps. That means taking risks, taking reasonable risk that isn't terribly giving the whole farm to the creative self, but giving the creative self an opportunity to have a chance in the dual relationship here. So taking steps, taking risk, and the logical self learning the creative does have something important to bring to the table. And so then the next time something comes, the logical self is trying to control and is being scared and it's wanting to control, but because it had a good opportunity, it had a good experience, it's willing to give another chance to that creative self, and so it gives another chance, and the creative self proves itself again. Does this make sense?
And how do you get logical self a chance to take those first steps?
I think it's depending on the degree of control that you're dealing with and the degree of, which is honestly the degree of fear that the individual is dealing with, it's to take the tiniest baby step. Maybe the tiniest baby step is to send an email to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much can go wrong? You send an email, maybe if they don't respond, how much could go wrong, right? But
mm-hmm.
the creative side, the one that has the idea, is over here saying, hey, I have an idea. If you would reach out to that person, there could be something really good come from it. But the logical self, the control, the fear, is like, oh, God, I can't imagine that. But maybe an email is safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you take that step and you send an email. Or so what I'm saying is to take, well, and actually even before that, is to have a top, you know, some for some people, they won't ever take any steps out of their comfort zone, and they will remain in that place. And they won't grow. So for those people, maybe there's people, maybe there is a population of people that just will do that, and that's who they will be, and they'll just stay there. And God bless them. But there's other people who are, I think that the impetus to actually grow and change comes because there's something, there's like a yearning, there's something going, but I know there's more. There's something that's wanting more. And so that person, then it's going to, that yearning is going to get so strong until they actually do take those steps and go do whatever it is that's beckoning them. And if they don't, they will get sick and have a miserable life, I'm sorry to say, because that's just what happens. There's an energy that is trying to burst up through the ground, like a plant that's trying to come growth up, burst into a new life. There is an energy that's doing that. And that energy, if it is not given an avenue, if it's not given, if something were, if like a piece of cement were put on the top of that ground and it cannot grow, then it will die. It will just stay in the ground and it will shrivel up and die. Now, that's the individual also. That's the individual who is very controlling and I hate saying that, though, because, you know, maybe we need people who are really controlling in the world. I don't know. I'm not – I don't really – I mean, I'm quite controlling myself, even though I'm a hugely creative person. And perhaps that's been one of my big challenges, is to let go. In fact, now that I said it, it's my huge challenge, is to let go. So, yeah, so where are we now? So – It's willingness to take a risk, and maybe for that controlling side, if it's a little tiny risk, maybe that is livable. That's safe enough for it, and it can take that. But the key is that that controlling self learns each time it allows, and it works. Each time it allows for a creative idea and it leads to something good, that one, it's like, woo, it just took off its coat and like it can kind of sit back and go, whoa, okay, we got this, right? Like it lets go because it's like, whoa, hell, there's a whole world here I didn't know about. You creative part, man, you got something going. Okay, I'll trust you a little bit more next time. So it builds. It builds on itself. That the trust in the relationship within, in between those two parts of ourself, there is a trust that grows. Mm-hmm. And that leads to more creative risks and more great stuff, because that creative wild child has got some great stuff going on, has got some, like, that creative side has just, like, it can, like, do anything. But it needs that other part to allow and trust it. And it needs some reins pulled in sometimes. It needs that controlling side to keep a handle on it sometimes. You know, it's like a parent with a really creative child. That child needs the parent to kind of hold a little bit of boundaries for it. Right? Kind of like me in this interview with you, poor Karina. I'm all over the place, and you're like, whoa, okay, where are we now?
Okay, Shayla, I'm going to touch.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think of the fear of death? It's quite a prevalent fear, I think, in
the fear
society
of
to say.
Death?
What about it? Yes.
Fear of death. That's what you say?
Mm.
Yeah, wow, well, death. That's a huge one, isn't it? And, you know, immediately I think of, it's the fear of the unknown, isn't it? Right?
Like, it is.
Fear of the unknown, we're here and we don't know what happens over there. We don't know what happens after death. Like, I mean, some of us can feel like, yeah, we know, but we don't. We can't. You know, we won't absolutely, absolutely know until we're over there, and then we're over there, we're not here. Right. So this alleviating, removing the unknown is a trickiness right? But so regarding that fear of death, I think of myself, I have a big thing about death myself personally. And I think to, are you there?
I am. But I think we come
in. Oh, good. Okay.
The last show.
Okay.
Sharon?
I'm sorry? Yes?
Unfortunately, we'll have to pick this up time. We're coming to the end of our show. It was really, really
good. Okay, great.
Karina,
so
all the info.
This has been so wonderful. I probably should say, you can find me online at embracingcreative.com. Not surprising, right? And bless you, Karina. I loved this. Thank you so much. And please forgive me if I was the wild child in the room.
No, this is awesome. Thank you. It was very cool to chat with you, Sharon. The wild child's always welcome.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
I wish you lots of
thank
lots
you so
of
much. I want to say, to not fear death. I think, honestly, to answer that we shall all, I pray that we shall all attain the place of being not afraid of that place of death, because it's just a transition. There it is.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Karina. I'm so happy to talk with you. Bless you.
Thank you, Sharon Corsaro, for your insights. Wishing you many blessings in your business and life. Thank you, listeners, for your time, and thank you, everybody else. Thank you, Sharon, once again. We had really a lot of fun, and trust we'll talk soon.